Well, this morning on WMUK, we're going to check in with the band program at Western Michigan University. Three leaders of the band program are here. They are Scott Borma, the director of the University Wind Symphony, Mary Land, who leads the Symphonic Concert Band. Let me rephrase that, the University Concert Band, and Trey Harris, who is conducting the University Symphonic Band. And the Bronco Marching Band as well, as we'll find out. So Scott, Mary, and Trey, thank you all for joining me here this morning on WMUK.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
So I'd almost like to hear you talk amongst yourselves about all this activity getting started when the school season begins. I mean, I can tell you an anecdote, Trey, of our neighborhood Facebook group. Someone posted, "Aren't you all annoyed by the sound of that metronome going on and the band practicing?" And like 60, 80 people jumped onto that thread and said, "I love it. It means fall is here."
That's right. The season's beginning and like the Bronco Marching Band's out there working and having a great time.
And they're sounding great.
Oh, I appreciate that.
As always, we have an intern here in the news department named Rainey, and she...
She's one of our mellophone section leaders.
That's right. Yeah. She says that part of the concerts are memorized for each game.
Oh, actually all of it. Everything you hear at Waldo Stadium is memorized, from the pregame to the halftime to the music we play in the stands to the postgame concert to the post-postgame concert. Everything is memorized.
Okay. And that's just a small detail of what music students are expected to do when they join the School of Music at Western Michigan University. So, Scott Borma, you came in several years ago now, and not too long ago, restructured the program.
Yeah, just last year, we used to have two concert bands that used to be the Symphonic Band and the Concert Band. I still struggle with the title changes of these ensembles, but and then we had a concert band or a campus band that met only in the spring semester and primarily non-music majors. And our School of Music's been growing, and we've just got to a point where the numbers of students that we wanted to get concert band experiences were just too many for the ensembles that we had. So last year we turned the old campus band into an actual third band, changed the name to Concert Band, as music majors and non-majors in there, and Dr. Land is conducting that. We were fortunate to have her with us last year to get that rolling. So yeah, three bands that are really busy that are up and rolling right now.
This is the weekend to get to know them. There's a concert on Sunday at 3 o'clock featuring the University Wind Symphony. You'll be conducting that. Yeah. And then the concert band and the symphonic band will have a joint concert, also free, Monday night at 7:30 p.m. So you can hear many of the same musicians playing a lot of repertoire and the kind of musicians you end up sharing amongst groups throughout the School of Music. And yeah, they're working pretty hard, I'm guessing.
Yeah, especially the marching band kids who have been started 2 weeks before classes started, and
they've had a total of two Saturdays off since band camp started. So they work incredibly hard, and they're participating in these ensembles as well.
Trey Harris, did you arrive 2 weeks before school started?
I got here late. I got here July 1st, and it's been go 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 since then. It's rewarding when you see, like, we had marching band students arrive as early as August 14th, and just to see how diligent they are with their work and the attitude that they have, and even though they're tired and they're exhausted, but they're still smiling and having a good time, and just makes it easy to come to work.
You're new to the School of Music here.
Yes.
Did you, you're going to have to tell us about yourself now. Did you come up through a band program? What is your instrument? And did you acquire your conducting skills?
Yeah, I'm a trombone player by trade. I played in the Marine Corps bands. I was stationed in Okinawa and New Orleans from 98 to 02. And then I did my undergrad in the state of Michigan, even though I'm not from here. and have been, my wife and I have been trying to get back to the state for a while. And she tells the story when this job came open, she came home and said, "No, you go get that one." I was like, "Oh, all right, I'll do that."
Yes, ma'am.
But I taught in Michigan and Missouri and Florida and Georgia, and we're excited to be in a place where we hope we can stay for quite a while.
Mary, you got here, was it a year before?
Yes, this is year two.
Yeah, okay. How are you feeling everything coming together, fitting in? The first year was probably, more crazy than any others.
You know, the first year was fantastic, but year two is always way better anywhere. So, and it's great having Trey here with us. I think we are a fantastic team of band directors, and I just feel like Western Michigan University is the place to be for any student pursuing music, instrumental music right now. They have amazing infrastructure in the music department, in the School of Music, and we're working hard just providing the best we can for our students.
I met some young players from the Junior Symphony in their woodwind quintet last year. Three of them were graduating, and I know one of them chose Western Michigan University's bassoonist, named Jackson. And that was, what tempted him was partly the personal attention, knowing that his studio was probably 6 to 8 people, getting a lot of personal attention, and the fact that you don't end up slipping through cracks at the School of Music at Western.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even though there's a lot of activity, a lot of people in the program.
Yeah. There's some place for everybody to fit in, and the culture, I think, is very supportive from professor to professor and down through the students. There's just a real care for the experience that our students get.
Well, why don't we have a look at Sunday's program, which, again, starts at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. Is there a theme to the first concert of the
No, there's fall? Not really. I tried to come up with something that tied it all together, but it's just a lot of great music, and I think it's just a good combination of some older pieces, some newer pieces, and just a lot of variety, and that's basically the theme, lots of variety.
Well, what should we take a break?
Well, we're going to open with a blast. Kind of a favorite composer of ours around here is Ron Nelson, who appears not only on the Wind Symphony program, but also on the Symphonic Band program. Ron Nelson has a long history of connection to our program. I won't get into all those details, but when I was an undergraduate here in 1982, when Dalton Center opened up, he wrote the opening grand fanfare for the celebration of the new building. And so just we tend to play his music quite often. We just really love it. And his Rocky Point Holiday is just a standard in the band repertoire. It's just fast and goes. It's just thrilling kind of music, and it certainly wakes our students up right away at the beginning of the semester, having to learn all those fingerings. And
wakes up the audience, too.
It will, yes.
Let's give it a listen, and we'll be back with Dr. Scott Borma, Dr. Mary Land, and Dr. Trey Harris, the leaders of the band program here at Western Michigan University. Music of Ron Nelson, my new hero. What a fantastic, invigorating, inspiring piece that is. What's it called again, Scott?
Rocky Point Holiday.
Rocky Point
Holiday. It's one of his best-known works, and one of his hardest works.
It sounds terrific. Yeah. Lots for the players to do.
Oh, yeah.
Very cinematic in a way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And that's opening your concert on Sunday.
Yep. 3 o'clock.
Okay, what happens after that?
Our second-year master's student in wind conducting, Rob Abend, is going to conduct a piece by William Schumann. And Rob is doing an interesting project for his final thesis based on really popular composers and little-known works of theirs. Things that we know William Schumann for his Chester and his New England Triptych and his George Washington Bridge and various pieces. But the piece that Rob chose to conduct is called Newsreel in Five Shots. It's just these five little vignettes of these descriptive little goings-on that you might see in a newsreel. And just really fun music. It definitely sounds like William Schumann a little bit, but it sounds a little different. And so it's just a unique thing to play.
Yeah, Schumann is not a relation of Robert Schumann.
No, different many spelling. Years later.
Yeah, so mid 20th century.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I can read here, this piece is from 1941, and there's things like fashion show, tribal dance, monkeys at the zoo. It just sounds quite descriptive.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
The University Wind Symphony is taking the stage at 3 o'clock on Sunday with Scott Borma conducting, and you mentioned your grad assistant, Rob Abend.
Abend.
And that's an interesting project he has there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So each concert is going to feature a different piece that kind of fits in that category.
Very good. I'm interested in the second half of this concert because the pieces are so fresh. They're brand new.
Hot off the presses.
No one will have heard them, except for you and the band, practically.
Yep. Well, we were talking while you were playing Rocky Point that we're fortunate to be living in a time where a lot of really fantastic composers are choosing to write for winds and percussion. We've been trying to really build our repertoire. We've only been going at this for a little over 100 years, and our orchestral counterparts have hundreds of years of fantastic music to choose from. And so just a lot of really intriguing things coming out. And this particular piece I heard at a College Band Directors National Association conference last year. It just was written in 2017 by Si Wang, a Chinese composer, and she studied with Stephen Stuckey, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning fantastic composer who recently passed away. She studied with him at Cornell, and he passed away last year. And so she wrote this piece, or 2 years ago, she wrote this piece as a tribute to him. And it includes some quotes from a couple of his pieces, and it's just really compelling, very contemporary. But you get to the third movement, and everything just kind of relaxes, and it's some of the most beautiful writing and some singing, some vocalization at the end, and it's just really, really fantastic music. It's called Winter Blossom by Si Wang.
Are you kind of thrilled to be surprised still by scores and new sounds and hearing these brand new pieces come out all the time?
It's amazing what we can do with 12 notes. You know,
we haven't run out of combinations.
Right, 12 notes, and we've got just hundreds and hundreds of years of unique, wonderful music, and it's fun to hear something new and say, yeah, people need to hear this.
And sonorities as well, because the band has a classic sound that I think you might associate with marching or Sousa. That's the sort of the classic formation
with
the balance that we're used to. But a lot of composers since then have kind of flipped it on its head and done amazing things with sonorities.
Yeah, well, that's an excellent point. Just all the colors available in a concert band. There you have, you know, five different kinds of saxophones, five different kinds of clarinets, you know. There's just a lot of different colors. The composition professor I studied with the most when I did my master's degree, William Bolcom, would talk to me about, you know, the daunting aspect of writing for a band. You know, you write for an orchestra, you've got four parts in the strings, and you've got these, you know, your standard go-tos, trumpet, trombone, clarinet, and flute, and you look at a band score, and suddenly you've got euphonium and alto, soprano, tenor, baritone, saxophone, and, you know, the contrabass clarinet, contrabassoon, all these colors. What am I going to do with all these sounds?
Let's not even start listing the percussion
options. Oh, yeah, it goes on and on. And so, you know, just the combinations available for a composer to create unique sounds is really fantastic.
Just so that I can bring Mary and Trey into this.
I like to dominate the conversation.
Can you think of a piece either from, you know, when you were in a band and thought and had never heard anything like it before in your life and were really surprised by a piece of band music or one that you ended up preparing as a conductor? What were some of the significant and kind of monumental pieces that changed your idea about what wind music is?
Do you want to go first? Or?
Go ahead.
It's, you know, it's interesting listening to y'all talk about...
Y'all?
No, stop it. but listening to you talk about, like, the different colors and timbres available in orchestration, it's... What I found is some of the most unique colors have come from the omission of a lot of the instruments in the concert band, which mm-hmm. has really started to happen over the last 60 or 70 years. But actually, if one piece that kind of flipped everything on its head for me, which I'm actually going to be programming with the symphonic band next spring, because we have a guest vocalist coming out named Lindsay Kesselman, is by a composer named James Moberly, and it's a piece for wind ensemble and soprano called Words of Love. And it was one of the first times that I really started to appreciate color in not in a synesthetic kind of way, but just in orchestration. And I've been looking forward to possibly doing that piece for the last 12 years after I heard it. And now I have the opportunity here. So I think that's the one that kind of made me think differently, I think.
Well, your turn, Mary.
Okay. I'm going to piggyback on the color sound, the sound of color or the colors of sound. The concert band's going to conclude this semester on December the 5th with a concert, and it's going to have a theme. The theme is a color concert, and everything that we play has a color in the title, and or is composed by a composer of color. And one of the pieces we're going to play has a great demonstration of the color of sound, or the sound of color, however we're going to go about that. And it's Brian Bielmage's Rippling Watercolors. And it's, as Trey had said, it's the omission of a lot. It's interesting to hear the colors that we can produce with certain combinations of instruments. So it's beautiful, and it starts simple, and then it adds color and adds color and adds color. It's a really fun piece, and I hope that the students enjoy it.
Well, we're looking ahead a little bit at the band program this semester. The concerts are posted at wmich.edu/music/events, and the concerts coming up very shortly are Sunday at 3 in Miller Auditorium, featuring the University Wind Symphony, and then Monday night at 7:30, another free concert, and this time you have a chance to see both University Symphonic Band and the concert band. The final work on Sunday for the Wind Symphony is from 2018.
Yeah.
So would you introduce some
Sure.
music
and
that?
We happen to be in the consortium of college band directors that got together and pooled our money to ask Omar Thomas to write this piece. So we're going to be one of the premieres across the country of this work. Omar Thomas is a professor of harmony at Peabody Institute in Johns Hopkins, and just really fantastic composer, a completely new voice. He's an African-American gentleman. We were fortunate to have him here on campus a week ago, and work with our students. And this piece, it's called Come Sunday, which is appropriate for us to play on Sunday, and it's his take on the black church worship service and the role of the Hammond organ in that. The first movement just is this dazzling, improvisatory-sounding piece that translates the sound of a Hammond organ in just these gorgeous harmonies. And the second movement is called Testimony, and then we just get it ramped up and get people shouting. It's called Shout. The first movement is called Testimony. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be, we're going to need audience participation, because we're going to want to hear hoops and hollers and people dancing in the aisles, and it's a gas. And having Omar here to work with our students was a real treat. I read a little bit of his program note. It's kind of a dedication to the black musicians who have played in wind ensembles over the year. And his final statement in his program notes, it says, "To the black musicians in wind ensemble who were given opportunity after opportunity to celebrate everyone else's music but our own, I see you and I am you." And that was his message with us. And it was a really unique, profound experience having him in the room and just get them rolling. They just had a blast, and our performance on Sunday is going to reflect that.
That could be a life-changing experience.
Yes, absolutely.
To meet Mr. Thomas and then to play his music. I think we have a chance to have a little preview now with the first movement testimony of Come Sunday. And we'll be back with Scott Borma, Maryland, and Trey Harris, the leaders of the University Wind Symphony, the University Concert Band, and University Symphonic Band. That is an inspiring new piece by Omar Thomas. And if you just tuned in during the music, we heard an explanation of how it came about. This piece called Come Sunday from Dr. Scott Borma, the leader of the University Wind Symphony. You can hear the complete piece as well as brand new music by Shi Wang and William Schumann and Ron Nelson as well when the University Wind Symphony takes the stage at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. This is a weekend of wind music because, in fact, if you come back Monday night at 7:30, you'll be able to hear the two concert-style bands, University Symphonic Band and the University Concert Band, led by Trey Harris and Mary Land. And all three directors are here in the studio here at WMUK, previewing this weekend of music and a great deal of activity. During the music, we've been talking about how you're bringing in different experts to talk to students. In fact, this composer visited the students not too long ago, Scott. You said last week he was here.
Right.
And, you know, from what I just got a chance to hear, so much of the music is based on, like, vocal gestures that your players have to embrace that.
Well, one of the hardest things, the Hammond organ tradition, there are a lot of things played in octaves by one person on a Hammond organ, and so he has five instruments playing those things and with these crazy rhythms, and it sounds improvisatory, but it's actually notated, and so they have to play it perfectly in time, and tuning octaves is not easy.
No.
But it's a great challenge, and it's a great style that we normally don't play, so great educational opportunity.
I think it's going to become a favorite.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Of the students, yeah. For sure. And that will conclude the 3 o'clock concert on Sunday by the University Wind Symphony. As you said, there's another movement called Shout.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get to that this morning as well. That's going to get people dancing.
Okay. I also wanted to touch on the program for Monday night. Who goes on first at Miller?
Concert band starts the program. Okay. And we're playing just classics of band repertoire. And our first piece is titled Brighton Beach, and the composer is William Latham. And actually, this was the first published piece by Mr. Latham, and it was an immediate success. The Instrumentalist, which is a journal that's published monthly for really band directors, orchestra directors, listed this piece as its top 100 pieces for different years. So he did a good job with this. It's a very popular march. It's in a traditional English march style.
Mm-hmm. Brighton Beach is in England, yes? Sort of a fun little resort area.
We can add some history to that, too. We're teaching across the curriculum.
It's when London got too hot and sticky in the summertime. You head to Brighton Beach for a day at the beach, and I don't know. ice cream. Or
sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
So that's how the concert band starts its program on Monday night. And what are some of the other highlights on the concert?
We're going to play a piece that I think is not well known, but it's by a really a very well respected band composer, Norman Delajoyo. The title of the piece is C-A-C-C-I-A Caccia. And it's...
It sounds Italian.
It is. It's based on Italian arias, and the band is actually divided into three choirs. It's not a very long piece. It's very interesting, and we're going to stage ourselves around the stage to enhance the sounds of the different choirs. It sounds almost Renaissance-ish. Students love this piece, and we have a lot of individual groups, different groups playing in unison, which is very risky. But they like it, and it's been very fun for them. It's actually, I really believe it's their favorite piece on the whole program. We're going to end the concert with a composer that's very popular today, Frank Tekeli, his piece Joy Revisited. Lots of it's a study on the E-flat concert scale, so they get to do some scale work. Some little fanfares, and then a very pretty lyrical section in the middle.
Now, this band draws from both the music major pool as well as the non-music major pool?
This is an all-inclusive band, okay? Mm-hmm. We have, I would say, maybe a fourth of the band is composed of music majors. The remaining portion of the band comes from almost every major in the university, as well as some faculty members in the university out of the School of Music who started playing instruments when they were probably in elementary school and have continued to play it. Mm-hmm. And that's a really good thing for our students to see that, you know, we're teaching something that is a lifelong skill should they choose to continue it. And it's a great mix. So selecting music for this group is really fun because you have to think, I want to keep this group, the 18-year-olds, as interested as those that are well beyond 18.
You have a special guest visiting school tomorrow.
Coming Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Dr. Tim Lautzenheiser from the Conn-Selmer. He's the vice president of education. Conn-Selmer is the company that actually builds and makes all of our instruments, band instruments, all wind instruments, brass, and strings. So they have, over about the past 10 years, put a big emphasis on music education. And Dr. Lautzenheiser is known as Dr. Tim. He's a real motivational speaker, and he truly believes in the power of music and the importance of having really highly skilled quality music teachers in our world. Mm-hmm. So he, I'm very excited that he's coming to Western, and he is really, this is his first trip here. He's actually bringing the new president of the Conn-Selmer Corporation with him. So we're going to show him a good Bronco welcome and it hopefully enlighten and encourage all of our students and faculty that attend.
And then you have a field trip on Thursday?
And on Thursday, the music ed majors that are mostly juniors, we're going to go to the Conn-Selmer plant and see firsthand how the instruments they are going to teach are built.
That's terrific. And then I think it's homecoming on Friday?
Saturday, yeah. This is homecoming weekend. Friday.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's no shortage of things to plan for here.
No, the students will have a well-deserved fall break next week.
As well as the faculty.
That's yes. Right.
But only after Monday, because their performance is Monday at 7:30.
That's right, yes.
Starting with the concert band. And we can take a short break and listen to this Brighton Beach March by William Latham, and we'll be back with the directors of the University Wind Symphony, the Concert Band, and Symphonic Band. on Monday, the University Concert Band will start their program with that march, the Brighton Beach piece by William Latham, and it will be Mary Land conducting the concert band. In the first half of the program, Trey Harris and the University Symphonic Band coming up after the break, and we are visiting with both Trey and Mary, as well as Scott Borma, to anticipate a couple concerts this weekend. Trey, tell us about the program of the University Symphonic Band you put together.
Yeah, it's very similar to the program that Scott is doing with the Wind Symphony, in that it's a varied repertoire. The earliest piece we're playing was composed in 1869 by Saint-Saëns, and probably the most recent piece was composed in 2015 by a young composer named Andrew Boss. And there's music in between. We're also featuring, we're going to open our concert with a piece by Ron Nelson, his Lauds, Praise High Day, which is has a lot of the same aesthetics as the Rocky Point Holiday. I told the students that he likes bright and shiny, you know. It's like, so a lot of times when the piccolos and clarinets are in the upper register, there's also crotales going on in the percussion section, so that it's a celebratory piece, and that's one of the things that Ron Nelson writes really well. I believe that marches are fantastic. I served in the military, and we're gonna close our concert with Henry Fillmore's The Klaxon. I was looking for a march that gave the French horns the melody, because they so seldom get that in a march, and we're playing that one pretty well. It's a fun concert, and the graduate assistant for Symphonic Band, Cody Edgerton, is conducting a piece by Scott's teacher, William Bolcom, called Song for Band. It was one of his first explorations into the band repertoire, and it's terrific, and it has that very modern harmonic language that Mr. Bolcom uses, and it's a stretch for the students, but I think they're really starting to get it.
That's what's great about learning new repertoire in an ensemble, is you have to pull together to get it, and then repetition, of course, the rehearsing process, eventually makes converts of most of us.
Right. We hope. That's what. Whenever I have a student say, "I don't like this piece," it's like, "Well, why don't you come talk to me after the concert?" And 9 times out of 10, they've come around. And if they didn't, then it's like, keep listening. You'll come around later.
Well, any final thoughts on the band programs and the live concerts coming up? They're free and open to the public, as I mentioned before. Maybe I could start over here with Mary Land.
All three of these concerts are celebrations of the accomplishments of our students for the first portion of the semester. And all three of us are very appreciative of the students that we have here, and want to celebrate with them throughout these performances. I think that the audience will come away with a greater appreciation of band music and the dedication that our students have to our band program here. So it's a good time. Come join us Sunday afternoon and Monday night.
Okay. Trey?
Yeah, absolutely, to echo what she said. And all the music on all three of these programs are fantastic repertoire. I think we all painstakingly put the time in to choose music that we believe in. And I think that's going to come through in the performances as well. So please, Phil Miller Auditorium, and let's share this band music with the community.
If you're here for homecoming anyway, you might as well stick around for the Sunday concert and the Monday night concert. So
that's right.
We'll have a great time.
Well, Scott, I'd like to get back to the brand new piece by Omar Thomas and finish the hour with more music from Come Sunday, which, as you said, was written in 2018.
Yep.
And celebrates the gospel church, the way the Hammond organ is used, and the way people praise their creator in church.
You'll not be able to sit still listening to this final movement.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining me here on WMUK. Trey Harris for the first time, Dr. Mary Land for the second time, and let's not count for us, Dr.
Yeah,
Scott Borma. We've
been
together for a while now. So I hope to see you all again soon. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.